Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, conversing again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, who is the mother of 8 children and has many questions about the validity of her own treatment of her children. She has very real struggles in knowing how and when to punish the children. She finds herself sometimes irresolute, not knowing what to do or whether to do it. Val, I wonder if you ever have a problem deciding what kind of punishment a child needs. You've got children ages 19 down to 3, so you've had a lot of experience in trying to decide what is the best form of punishment.
Yes, it's been with the older ones, of course, that I've thought that spankings weren't appropriate and needed privileges taken away. And so often I can't think of what privilege I should take away. And that would be probably with my 10-year-olds and up. Right now I'm having a struggle with teaching my 10 and 12-year-old boy and girl to be kind to each other, to listen to each other respectfully, to have normal conversations, not always arguments. I think taking away the privilege of staying up a little later, for example, my 12-year-old stays up about an hour later than the 10-year-old, and sending him to bed earlier is sometimes the best punishment. It's the worst for him. It's the best for him to learn his lesson. Another punishment I've found, and your question was, do I struggle with wondering what it is? Yes, I do. But the ones that I have used consistently and enough times to realize that they've worked with the children are either putting them to bed earlier than they are used to going to bed, or getting them up earlier than they're used to getting up, because all of my children except my 4-year-old love to sleep in. So if I tell them they must get up at 6 o'clock in order to talk with me and in order to do some extra chores, that's a punishment. Although I don't like using chores or housework as a punishment, because I want them to learn to love work and not see it only as punishments. But usually after a good little talk with them early morning before anybody else is up, and after giving them a list of things that they need to do, by the end of that time they're quite cheerful and glad that they're up before everybody else and come out wonderfully. So I know that that's been a good punishment to get them up earlier. With the teenagers, definitely taking away the privilege of going to do something with friends has been the best punishment. We haven't had to use it very much, just a very few times.
Well, we're talking about love's demands. God has to punish his children from time to time, and it is the very demonstration of his love. And that's a pretty hard concept to get across to a little child. I spank you
because I love you.
I love you. Mm-hmm. And when a parent says, this hurts me worse than it hurts you, of course the child's not going to believe that mm-hmm. until he becomes a father. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. John Calvin said this about self-denial. We are not our own, but the Lord's. How extremely difficult it is for you dutifully to seek the advantage of your neighbor, and of course that can be your children, unless you quit all selfish considerations and almost forget yourself. How can you perform the duties which Paul teaches to be works of love unless you renounce yourself and devote yourself wholly to others? I find that my mornings have to be given wholly to my children, not the whole afternoon, but the mornings do have to be given wholly to my children, because I'm homeschooling the 14-year-old on down to the 4-year-old, and I have to renounce my own desires in loving housework. I would much rather be doing housework than paying attention to a detail of teaching or detail of disciplining. But I do try to give my whole morning to what the children need to be learning and doing with their time. Then we have the quiet time in the afternoon that I've already mentioned, and that's important for them and for me. And then in the after the quiet time, I often give a little bit more time to one of the children with the schoolwork. And from then on, the children are pretty much playing happily with each other or with other neighborhood children. But a mother at home has to be careful that she may feel like she's giving all of her time to others just because she's at home. But it's very easy to slip into doing your own thing. Even though there are crowds of people around you, you can be off reading a book and not paying any attention to the chaos that might be happening with your children.
I'm sure somebody must have asked you, Val, don't you have any time for yourself?
Oh, yes. I say that my favorite best time of the day is early morning before anybody else gets up. And I call that time for myself because I believe that's the time the Lord uses to help me get ready for the day. And it's both selfish and God-centered during that time because I love to get up before everybody else. I love to have my devotions. I see myself sometimes wasting time puttering about doing things that, you know, if I don't watch my time carefully, I'm not on schedule with getting my walk in and then getting breakfast. I have to get the children up before I get the breakfast started. And so I have to be careful and on my toes in how I spend that time. But I would say that's time for myself, but it's time really to prepare myself for the day. And the Lord renews me and refreshes me through His Word. And I also love that little nap time during quiet time in the afternoon. I do regularly take a 10 to 15 minute nap. I lie down with the two youngest children and they fall asleep and I fall asleep and then I get up and they're still sleeping for another hour and a half or two.
Could you give us a hint of just briefly what that early morning quiet time includes?
Well, I think it's important to have some kind of system of reading the Bible and not just to hope that you're going to flip open to something good. I think to make up your mind for 1 month that you're going to read the book of Ephesians or that you're going to read a gospel. Or some people, of course, find that just reading straight through the Bible year after year is what they like the best. And I think as long as there is a system, the Lord's going to use that system to feed you daily. And I know Amy Carmichael's system was she would just read, asking the Lord to speak to her, and she would read until she came to the verse that she felt the Lord was specifically saying, this is the one I want you to meditate on. And so that could be three verses or it could be two chapters. So I do read almost always a psalm first, and then I go to one other book in the Bible that I'm reading through. And then I often have my prayer notebook open at that time, and I may pray right after I've read the scripture, or I may go to my women's Bible study book that currently that's what we're reading. We're reading Treasures of Encouragement by Sharon Betters. And she has daily readings and daily questions and assignments about the readings, learning to encourage other people. And so that's what I'm doing right now. And then I also use Amy Carmichael's Edges of His Ways. And in the past, I've used the same book that you've quoted from many times, Joy and Strength by Mary Wilder Tilliston. And I have several different books that I could choose from to read, although, again, I tend to waste a little bit of time just trying to decide what should I read something else or should I get up and should I have my prayers then. And so anyway, it includes the Bible reading, the prayer time. There's usually a list of about 10 or 12 people, although I keep wanting to ask the Lord just to keep reminding me through the day of people to pray for instead of just saying, here's my list and I'm done with my list. I have often in the past used the InterVarsity hymnal to read through hymns and sing them to myself, sing them to the Lord. And then I get up and I take a walk, usually about a 30-minute walk, and then I get back and wake up the children between 6:45 and 7 o'clock. So that's what takes up my quiet time.
Since we're talking about love's demands, quiet time comes under that heading, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Love demands self-sacrifice, self-denial, self-giving. And you are repeatedly, daily, giving yourself to God and opening your heart to listen to what God wants to say to you. That beautiful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, has the line in it, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And it isn't as though God is a harsh master waving a whip over us because we must do this. This is the appropriate demand of love. This is the measure, the least measure that we can offer to Him. And that is the place which you've so clearly shown us where you receive the strength for today. And I think it's so important to have that first thing in the morning. Do you think it makes any difference?
It definitely makes a difference to my day, but I also want to say to those who might be thinking, boy, how can she do that every day? I don't do it every day. There are some mornings when my husband is up at the same time as I am, and he really wants to spend time with me, talking to me, and or taking a walk or praying with me. And so I selfishly want to disappear if he wakes up, and I want to have my own time in my closet. And part of love's demands for me then is to give myself to my husband and in listening and talking with him and taking a walk if he wants to do that. So I don't get that wonderful time 7 days a week, but I would say at least 4 or 5 days a week I'm doing that in my closet. I have a sort of a large closet, so I can actually go into my closet to have quiet time.
Thank you so much, Val. We're talking about love's demands and the love of God that is poured through us. The more we learn to love Him, the more He gives us grace to love other people, especially those whom we find hard to love.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.